The first one was about surrender, and the second one was about being born again, and that's how it has to take place. You have to surrender. I'm going to surrender to this pew here in a second. But you have to surrender, and I meet people every day, well, I shouldn't say every day, but quite often, and you know, you don't know if these people are born again, you witness to them, and of course they're already saved, and you invite them to church, and they come to church, and then they don't come to church, then they come to church, or, you know, just things like that. It's just people that you have to keep up with if you want them to come to church, you know, and you kind of wonder because, I mean, I don't want to judge them because God judges their heart, not me. I judge their appearance, but, you know, you kind of wonder with these people who have never really surrendered to Jesus Christ and to the gospel, you know. It's just kind of like, you know, kind of like the Lutherans. They just always grew up with the gospel, knowing Jesus Christ and knowing how to be saved, but they never really surrendered to the gospel. They never really, like in Peter where it says to obey the gospel, you see? So that something has to take place there. And if you're born again, you should know a time frame of when that took place. You should know something about that. I don't know the exact day. I mean, I'm sure if I looked at my baptism and did the math backwards, I could figure out what day it was, but I'm really not concerned with the day. What I'm concerned with is that I know my testimony is real. You know, I know that when you speak of repentance, I know that my attitude changed towards the things of God and the things of the world. Okay? And that's a great evidence for yourself is when the Holy Spirit will tell you if it's right or wrong. And then you will have to consciously reject or accept what the Holy Spirit tells you. And that really doesn't have anything what I'm talking about today, but that was just, you know, just dealing with people. You know, you get tired after a while of trying and trying and trying, and then you find yourself getting upset with certain individuals, and it might even push them further away, you know. So, I don't know. It's kind of just, you know, we really shouldn't get too upset over it, but we should apply pressure where pressure needs to be applied, amen? But anyway, we've been talking about rightly dividing, and we did some basic divisions on the board I'm sure you all loved, and we're going to be getting into what are called dispensations, okay? So let's go ahead and pray before we start the lesson. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, now that the deaf and dumb spirit be bound and that your spirit would have free course, that our hearts would be opened, our eyes would be opened, and that we would humble ourselves, Lord, to learn the truth. And we just pray, Lord, that that you will give us the discernment to be able to decide through the scriptures whether or not the things that I say today would be true. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So we're talking about dispensations. Now, before we talk about dispensations, I want to talk about covenants, okay? Now, the Bible is divided into seven different covenants, major covenants, okay? And the dispensations, people like to put time frames on dispensations, and we really can't do that except in certain dispensations that where there was recorded history. But with the covenants, I want you to know that all of the dispensations fall within the seven covenants, okay? They fall within the seven covenants. And if you have a reference Bible here, a Common Man's Reference Bible, if you look, I believe it's going to be in, is it going to be in Genesis 2? Genesis 2. If you look at Pastor's footnote, he has a covenant. This is going to be starting in the Edenic covenant, okay? That would be your first covenant. Your second covenant is going to be the Adamic covenant, okay? Your third covenant will be the Noahic covenant. Then your Abrahamic covenant, the Mosaic covenant with the nation of Israel, the Davidic covenant, and then the new Israel, the new covenant with Israel, okay? So those are your seven basic covenants that the Bible is divided into. And these dispensations, well, we have more than seven dispensations, but the dispensations that we have are going to all fall. Remember I said that the dispensations fall within the scope of the Bible? Well, that's what I meant. They fall within the scope of these seven covenants. Okay? And it's a better thing to say that the Bible is divided into covenants than dispensations, I think. Because the covenant is the promise or the contract that God made with the people at that time. And the dispensations can change within those covenants. Okay? So we have to pay attention to that. All right? So now what we've got here is we've got these dispensations that fall within the covenants. And every dispensation, if you remember what I said last time, every dispensation ends with man's failure. Every dispensation ends with man's failure. Okay? So what we're going to have with dispensations, we're going to have a beginning, we're going to have man's responsibility, and then the God's attribute during that dispensation. And then I'm going to list the test and the failure of man, and then the final judgment. Okay, so that's how we're going to break down these dispensations. Okay, so let's go to the first dispensation. Look in Genesis 1:26. This dispensation is called the dispensation of innocence, or specifically the Edenic covenant, or Edenic covenant, however you want to say that. But it's about the Garden of Eden. It begins with the creation of man in Genesis 1:26. And it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Okay, so there's the first thing. That's where it begins. Okay, and that's the command from God right there. It begins with the creation of man. Okay, now look at Genesis 8. This is going to be man's response, or Genesis 2, I'm sorry, man's response. We'll start in verse 8. Genesis 2:8. "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also is in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from hence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison, that is it which compasseth the whole land of Hivalah, where there is gold." Now you can see where all these conspiracies are coming up about aliens and things like that, that they came down here and created us to mine all the gold, okay? That's where they're getting all this stuff. They're just ripping this stuff right out of the Bible and profiting off of it and applying science to it and then just fooling people. And Christians are getting caught up in this big time. Big time. And it's really shaking and rattling their faith. Okay, I don't care if aliens do exist. It doesn't affect this Bible in any way, shape, or form. There could be life forms all over the universe. I don't care. You know, our plan of salvation is still the same. Amen? Our God is still the God of this Bible. Amen? Whether there's a being out there that thinks he's bigger than God or not, I don't care. You know, this is our God. You know, and if people want to call him an alien instead of God, they're still acknowledging God. You know, so you got to watch out for that stuff. So Genesis 8, all the way down to 16. Let me go down here to 14. "And the name of the third river is Hiddekel, that is it which goeth towards the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat." So there's your rules and regulations for the dispensation, the Edenic covenant, okay, the dispensation of innocence. Adam and Eve were created innocent with a free will, okay? And God gave them some rules and regulations, okay? What was the rules and regulations? What was man's responsibility? Not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? And to dress the garden. That was it. That was all he had to do. Okay? That was all he had to do. What was God's attribute during this dispensation? Goodness. Goodness. Okay? Goodness. Now, the test and the failure, you find it in Genesis 3. We kind of went over it a little bit. It seems like everybody's been spending some time with this Genesis here a lot lately. I don't know why that is. Maybe the Holy Spirit thinks we need it. But if you look, what happened in Genesis 3? Yea, hath God said, right? You shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it. She misquoted. Lest ye die. She should have took notes. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Okay, so what happened? Okay, man was tempted by Satan and ate of the tree. So the test was, don't eat, the test was the Satan coming to tempt, and the failure was them giving into that temptation. So that was the failure. Okay. The final judgment, you find that in Genesis 3, starting in 15. And we talked about that a little bit last week too. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Okay, so you see the final judgment there. The final judgment in this one is that everything paid the price. Everything paid the price for one person's sin. Everything paid the price. So if you think that your sin doesn't bother anybody else because it's in private, you're absolutely wrong. You're absolutely wrong. If anything, you're opening up a doorway into your home for you, your children, to be attacked spiritually. That's what you're doing. Okay, so we need to keep ourselves in check. When you get up in the morning, if you feel a little bit off kilter, you better get in that mirror and you better figure what's going on. You have to consciously make that decision all through the day. You know, a kid gets on your nerves and you bust out yelling at him, you need to stop and you need to go look in the mirror and say, hey, you want to be yelled at like that? You know, so we need to keep ourselves in check, okay? So what happened? The final judgment against Satan, it was against Satan, the man, the woman, the earth, and innocent animals. That's what happened because of one person's sin. Okay, everything had to suffer, all right? So what happened? Man chose to obey Satan, okay? Now what did we have in this dispensation? In the garden we had salvation. How did we have salvation? By not taking of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and by taking of the tree of life. Okay? You'll see this tree of life come back again in the millennium. Excuse me. So they took of the tree of life for eternal life, and they couldn't take of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay? Now, in this, what happened when they did that? Their fellowship was broken with God. Amen? Their fellowship was broken with God. They had true fellowship. It says that Adam was created in God's image. Okay? And if you run that, the image of God, if you run that, you will find out that that image is Jesus Christ. Okay? And that should say something as to why we need to be born again. Okay? Because Adam was created in Christ. We were not born in Christ. We were born in the image of our parents, okay? So we need to take on the image of Jesus Christ. The only way you can do that is to be born of the water and to be born of the Spirit, amen? That's how you get that. So that fellowship was broken, okay? Now that fellowship will be restored in the kingdom, okay? It will be restored in the kingdom, okay? Believers, let's talk about that kingdom a little bit more. Believers in the kingdom, I'm talking about the kingdom of heaven, okay, the physical kingdom, okay, believers in the kingdom will have full fellowship with Christ, okay? If you're born again now, in the kingdom of heaven, you will have full fellowship with Jesus Christ, amen, okay? Now, Jews in the kingdom will have full fellowship with Christ, amen? There's neither Jew nor Greek, okay? We're all one in Christ, neither male nor female, okay? Now, here's the difference. The Gentile nations in the kingdom will have limited fellowship in Christ. Limited fellowship, okay? They will have to come, amen? The Gentile nations will have to come to get their fellowship with Jesus Christ in the kingdom, okay? Now, here's the other thing. After the kingdom, we have eternity, okay? Everyone, in eternity, everyone that is not in hell will have full fellowship with Jesus Christ. All that's going to be restored, amen? It's all going to be restored, okay? So that is the dispensation of innocence, okay? Let's move on to the next one. It's called the dispensation of conscience, or the Adamic covenant. This is the covenant that God made with Adam after the garden, okay? It starts in Genesis 3:10. If you look, we talked about conscience, okay? And he said, I heard the voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. His conscience came alive, okay? His conscience came alive when fellowship was broken. Okay? So you had conscience, you had fear, and they were aware of the law at that point. They were aware of a law at that point, not specifically the Mosaic law, but they were aware that of a law, of God's rules. Okay? They became aware after they sinned. Okay? So, we talked about this earlier, the way God deals with man. In a dispensation is what distinguishes one dispensation from another, okay? So that's what we're doing. You have to be able to watch this transition here into a new dispensation, okay? Every dispensation ends with man's failure. About this conscience, 1 Timothy 4:3 tells you that your conscience can be seared. That's another reason you don't want to play with sin, okay? God is long-suffering, I know that, but just like a dad is long-suffering, and when he's had enough, he's had enough. Everybody runs for cover when daddy's had enough, okay? Because he starts swinging things and hitting anybody he can, anywhere he can. And it's funny, I was watching the HBO miniseries Hatfields and McCoys. Have you seen that with Kevin Costner? That's a really good series, and it's pretty historically accurate. And they had boys. They had to be 16, 17, 18 years old. And they had one command of their dad at the party. They were having like a hoedown or something, whatever they had in the mountains in them days. But their sister, they had one thing. Their 17-year-old sister or 18-year-old sister, they had to make sure she got home because mom and dad left. And he told them, he said, you're charged with bringing your sister home. And he said, don't come home without your sister. Well, they came home without their sister. And it was funny because as soon as they got on the porch, man, he had a razor strap. And I mean, he came flying out the door and was just smacking everybody. I mean, they were running in all directions and he was just hitting anybody anywhere he could, you know. But that was those days and kids respected adults. I was just telling my boys how, you know how foghorn, leghorn, you know how you do it. Now stand up straight, boy. Now suck in your gut. Now stick your chest up, chin up, you know. Now pull your pants up, son. You know, but that's the way it used to be. People wanted to be look respectful in those days. And an adult, man, when I was a kid, any grown-up could smack you upside your head. And that wasn't that long ago, you know. The principal smacked you. Your teacher smacked you. Your principal smacked you. And then you got smacked at home after that. You know what I mean? I got smacked 3 times in 1 week by my principal. You can imagine what it was like for me at home after that. Because my dad was the kind of guy that held you by the hand and did this in a circle. Because you're trying to run, you know, and you can't go anywhere. It was always get in the back room, boy. Because that's where I got mine, was in the back room where the furnace was, where you couldn't hear screams. So, but but that's, you know, your conscience. You have to be aware of your conscience and don't deny that conscience for too long because God may switch that thing off, okay? And then we're getting into Romans 1 and reprobate and all that good stuff, and we don't want to do that. Okay, so we're on the dispensation of conscience, okay? Now, this is one that was recorded. We can record how long this one. It was 1,700 years, okay? And in them days, that was only 2 generations. That was only 2 generations. In those days, the average lifespan was 930 years. Adam was 932 years old when he died, amen? Okay? Methuselah lived longer than that, okay? So, you know, the lifespans were longer, so it was 1,700 years. That was only two generations at the time. And there were three things that they knew. Three things that the people on the earth at that time knew, okay? They knew to keep, this is what they knew to keep them from trouble. They knew what happened in the garden because it was first-hand information. They knew it. It was passed down. Their parents were probably telling them, you know what happened in the garden. You don't want that to happen to you. You know, you want to end up like Adam and Eve. We're all messed up because of Adam and Eve. You know, your Uncle Adam or your Grandpa Adam, you know, great-grandpa Adam. Okay, so they knew what happened in the garden. Number two, they knew which of Cain and Abel God accepted and why. And Cain was marked. Okay, so they had all this information there, okay, in the dispensation of conscience. They had all this firsthand information there, okay? And then number three, they had their own conscience. They had their own conscience, okay? Now look in Genesis 3:23. This is where the dispensation begins. It says, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Now that's strange, isn't it? God controls everything, but he doesn't want them to get in there to that tree of life for some reason. You know, it just must be that that tree inherently has life-saving power. And this is where you can see where the New Agers, they run with that tree of life. They don't want anything else out of the Bible except for Matthew 5, or the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, Matthew 7. They want that, and they want the tree of life, but they don't want nothing else out of the Bible. They don't want to hear how you have to be born again. They'd rather just sit under a tree all day eating fruit and live forever. You know, that's the New Ager, you know. That's what they want to do, sit in the shade all day long. So we start in Genesis 3:23. What happens? God curses the ground. Okay? He curses Adam and Eve, and they get kicked out of the garden. Okay? Genesis 3:21, what happened? Animal sacrifice for the atonement of sin. Okay? Satan, I want to point something out here. At this time, Satan was not a serpent. Moses called him the serpent, but he was not a serpent. Okay? That takes place later. Okay, at this time, their animal sacrifices were involved, but there was no altar. Okay, there was no altar, and this is where you have Cain and Abel, and we can say some things about Cain and Abel that a lot of people don't necessarily know about. Cain and Abel possibly were twins. Okay, I've heard. Another thing, too, brother was telling me about it, that they could have been born in different time periods, you know, one after the other, and that's why we have some things. You were explaining that to me the other day, you know. But the other theory is, too, is that they're twins, okay? Same mom, different dads, which can happen. That can happen today, okay? There are instances where women are having babies, and the children are from different dads. Okay? That takes place today still. Okay? You can check that out. All right? But I want you to look. Cain and Abel, if you look at the scriptures, they weren't from the same dad. Okay? Look at 1 John 3:11. It appears that they weren't from the same dad. 1 John 3:11. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Okay, so if you don't want to argue with the Bible, that one says that Cain was of the wicked one. Okay? He was of the wicked one. Look at 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11. verse 1. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Okay? Now I want you to notice here where he uses the word beguiled, okay, through his subtlety, okay? But I want you to notice the context here is a relationship. Adultery is the context. Paul is likening the Corinthians that are being corrupted through subtlety, he's comparing that as they were espoused and they've drifted away from their husband. Okay? That's the context there. So he's talking about Eve in the garden, and he makes reference to a relationship and cheating on that spouse. Okay? So that could be a reference to Cain. All right? Now look at John 8:44. Now the context here is Jesus battling with the Pharisees, okay? And he's telling the Pharisees something here that I see nowhere where we shouldn't take it literally. It appears that he's speaking to them directly, or that we should take this literally. That it's not figurative is what I'm saying, okay? Here he says in verse 44, he says, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He is a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Okay? So there's somebody there that has a different father than who they claim to have. Now, is he speaking spiritually? I don't think so. I think he's speaking literally. Because you can run with these Pharisees. Look at Psalm, I think it's Psalm 82. Speaking about these Pharisees and their father. Here you go. Psalm 82. In verse 1, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods, small g. So there's little gods, and then there's God. There's other gods than just God, okay, God Almighty. How long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah, that's your context, that's your doctrine there, second coming. Defend the poor and the fatherless, do justice to the afflicted and needy, deliver the poor and needy, rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand, they walk on in darkness, all the foundations of the earth are out of course. There's your context. Okay, here's your context. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High, but ye shall die like men. Okay, so there's somebody with a different father than who they think they have. Okay, and then he says, arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. Okay, so the context there is going to be pre-flood. Okay, when we did have some beings messing around down here on earth. Okay, so the possibility that Cain and Abel were twins with different dads, absolutely possible. Okay, I'm not dogmatic on it, but it is absolutely possible. Okay, that word beguiled. Okay, it implies a physical act. They even have a Clint Eastwood movie called The Beguiled that involves a physical act. So beguiled is not just fooling somebody. It means you fooled somebody in an act, more precisely, that you used an act or a physical act to beguile somebody, to fool somebody, okay? So the dispensation of conscience, okay, that was Cain and Abel. Now, this is man's responsibility during this dispensation, and we'll be done here right after this, is that there's three witnesses to guide him. Number one, he had an internal witness, the conscience, amen? He had an internal witness. That's in Romans 2, 14 and 15. You'll find the conscience, Jeremiah 17, 1. The law is in the heart, okay? Number two, their second witness to guide them was an external witness, the creation. Amen? The creation is proof. The creation is proof. Romans 1, 19 and 20. All right? And then number three, the third witness, is a heavenly witness. The experience of Cain and Abel that God will accept the blood of a sacrifice. Okay? They knew that. First-hand knowledge, they knew what God would accept and reject based on that heavenly witness. Okay? Now, God's attribute during this time period? Long-suffering. Long-suffering. One of his greatest attributes. Okay? You find that in Genesis 6, 3 through 6, 1 Peter 3, 20. Okay? Man's test. All right? Keep your generations perfect. That was the test. Don't go outside of your race. Okay? If you look at Genesis 6, look at Genesis 6. This thing about generations, the root word is gene. Genes. Genetics. That's the root word. A generation in the Bible more than likely is a race of people, not a time period or a generation like we normally think. Okay, that's why that 1948 stuff, or when Israel became a nation, I don't know where it says that this generation shall not pass. I don't know that that's what that's applying to. I think that's applying to the Jews, the Jewish race. Amen? The Jewish race, okay? Look at Genesis 6. Let me find my spot here real quick. Yes, look at Genesis 6, verse 1. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men. Wait, did I go through it? Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't want to go through that part. I want to look at this one here. Verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Why did he find grace? These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man. Why was he a just man? And perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. So why did Noah walk with God? Because he obeyed God. He didn't go outside of his race. That's why God chose Noah to get in the ark. Because he obeyed God and did not crossbreed with, in the previous verses, were fallen angels. Angels that became flesh. Okay? So that was the test, and they failed. They failed to keep their generations clean. Amen? And that's the dispensation of conscience. Next time, we'll pick it up with the dispensation of human government. Okay? So let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for this day. Thank you for these people, Lord. We just pray that our minds remain open to receive your word today. And Lord, we just pray for safe travels for everybody, that we'd make it to where we need to go safely. And Lord, I just pray that your spirit would have free course in this room today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.